Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We call this day our namesake day. It's a great day for our church. We celebrate it with big music, wonderful texts, celebrations, and thank yous. For those of you who might not know or might not remember, the name of this church is not Holy Trinity Lutheran Church. That's merely our AKA, our also known as. No, the proper name of this congregation is the English Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Holy Trinity. And that name is a much better name, as it says so much more about our congregation than our shorter name does. Our longer name says many things. The first thing is that it says that we have a long and distinguished history. And it does this with the word English. In 1879, when this congregation was founded, every Lutheran church in Buffalo used German as their primary language of worship. Atonement, Resurrection, St. John, Christ, all worshiped in German, following the sentiment of the day that said, English is for making money, German is for prayer. But our church ancestors said that if this is where God has led us and this is what we call home, and English is the language, then we will not only earn our money with English, but we will pray with English. So this group of like-minded and progressive thinking Americans started a small worship group and asked a French Huguenot congregation that was meeting in a small church on the corner of Ellicott and Tupper here in the city, the current site of the city mission, if they could hold their worship services after the French Protestant congregation held theirs. And being gracious and welcoming as the French always are, they said yes. Within a relatively short period of time, this radical group of Christians, Lutherans, soon grew to a size where they were significantly bigger than that French Protestant congregation of the Augsburg Confession. And so that small congregation agreed to merge with Holy Trinity, and they began worshiping together. Within 20 years, they outgrew not only that building, but the three other buildings that they had purchased to house their Sunday school, their men's group meetings, the women's auxiliary, and the myriad other groups that they had. And so they decided to abandon the city for the suburbs, and they bought an apple orchard on the outskirts of town, just north of the northern boundary of the city, right here where we are today. That northern boundary, which used to be called Boundary Lane, is now North Street. The only thing north of that boundary was the city cemetery, which you know as Forest Lawn. In 1904, they dedicated this edifice to the glory of God with somewhere in the vicinity of 2,500 members. History tells that story, that their decision to follow the times and think outside the box, as it were, was a good decision. That's what the word English in our name tells you. The next word, evangelical, also tells us something about who we are. But unfortunately, the word evangelical today has been hijacked by the conservative religious right, the moral majority, Pat Robertson, James Dobson, and the rest. And to the average person, therefore, on the street, it says ultra-conservative, pro-life, anti-gay, and a host of other nuances. And that's a real shame, because that's not what the word means. The word simply means that we are the ones who have a story to tell, namely the story of Jesus Christ his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. To be evangelical, to be an evangelist, where evangel is translated from its original language and means messenger, we are messengers. Messengers of the gospel. Now, that gospel presumably has something to say about how we live our lives, how we deal with such issues as abortion and gay and civil rights and marriage equality and capital punishment and torture and war and conservation and so much more. And to a certain extent, how we deal with these issues must take into account what would Jesus do. And if we do that, then we have to take a look at what Jesus actually did. And when you look at what Jesus did, the radical Christian right will quickly discover that they are much more exclusive a club than Jesus would have had or joined or approved of. The next word, Lutheran, speaks to the obvious. We are Lutheran because we follow the teachings and inclination of our founder, Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King. That says that we are the oldest group of those who trace their history back to that protest movement of the Reformation in the early 16th century. We were the first to break away from the Roman tradition of that day. But on the other hand, it also means that we are the closest to that tradition. Those in the congregation today who are former Roman Catholics, or as we like to say, recovering Catholics, you know better than we cradle Lutherans that that which separates us from the Roman Church and from that tradition pales in comparison to what we have in common with them, not the least of which is our liturgy, our scripture, and our spirituality. The history of the whole church is our history, and we celebrate it and hold fast to it, for it is a precious gift from God. But that word Lutheran also tells us that we are unique in the world of religious communities. We hold fast to the principles that set us apart in the first place, and which today still present a convincing argument for how a religious fellowship should do business. First and foremost, we believe that God is in charge, and that we are his children and servants of his kingdom. God offers us the gift of his grace, which when appropriated by faith, assures us of our salvation, which is nothing less than the promise that God's love will never be far from us, nor abandon us, even in death. And as witness to that fact, we have the example of Jesus and the gospel of his life and death and resurrection. The next word, church, is in our name. It's in our title. It's in our formal corporate name. It's in the name registered with the state of New York as a nonprofit 501c corporation. And it is spelled with a capital C, not a small c. If it were spelled with a lowercase c, it would mean that this is a church, as in a church building, as in it looks like a church. It has stained glass windows, an organ, pews facing one direction, a lectern or a pulpit up front from which a boring lecture could be offered. But ours is spelled with a capital C, which means it is an abbreviation. The big C church means not church building, but the church of Jesus Christ, the church that confesses him as Lord of our lives, as Son of Man, as Son of God, as Redeemer, as Savior. And if we added all of that to our official name, it wouldn't fit on the check, so we just put church there. But make no mistake, that's who we are. We are not just a building that looks like a church. We are part of his church. Big C, written large. finally, of the Holy Trinity. As I said in the beginning, today is our namesake day, Holy Trinity Sunday. Originally, it was set as an official day of the church back in 1334 by Pope John the 22nd, although its day finds its origin clearly 300 years before that. When the church came out with designating the day as a feast day, it was the end of a long struggle to decide what to do with the concept of the Holy Trinity. The concept of the Trinity from its earliest days was debated, resolved finally in the great councils of the church and reflected in the creeds of the church, the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. They all speak to the doctrine of the Trinity. The Apostles and Nicene Creed merely give a nod to it. The Athanasian Creed focuses on it entirely, if not obnoxiously, redundantly, and until the corpse is left bleeding at the curb, which is what makes it John Burke's favorite creed. You know, he lobbied so hard against it that they took it out of the new red hymnal. And I can see, without even looking at him, that he's smiling from ear to ear right now. We are the English Evangelical Lutheran Church of Jesus Christ that celebrates God not only as Father, and therefore Creator and Sustainer, but also as Son, Redeemer, Savior, Teacher, Prophet, but also as Holy Spirit, as Advocate, Counselor, Motivator, Revelator, Interpreter, and most of all, as that mysterious entity that somehow draws us to God. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to draw you to God. And this, perhaps more than anything else, is what this place, this congregation, is all about. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we support, everything we play, everything we sing is done to draw you to God. If it doesn't, then we need to come full circle once again to that first word in our name. Those who founded this church wanted to make sure that nothing got in the way of bringing people closer to God. They thought, and history has shown rightly so, that by not speaking the language of the day and of the country in which they were living, that people would not be drawn to this place, and therefore not to the God that we encounter herein. And so it follows that we should always be on the watch to see if anything we're doing, if anything we're saying, if anyone we're excluding keeps people from being drawn to the God we lift up as all the things I just mentioned, then we need to change. We are the English Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Holy Trinity. And we've just recently celebrated the 130th anniversary of our founding. For this and for so much more, we say thanks be to God, to whom be the glory now and forever. Amen.